Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Minority Report's podcast and digital series. I am your host, Mona Shake. It's Friday. That's what Friday is. This week has been incredibly long. I don't know about you guys, but I've been feeling kind of out of sorts because I've been trying to resolve some stuff this week, and it's been a little challenging, to say the least, but we made it to Friday, so I can't complain. I am very excited about my guest today. And look, I went and got my nails done today. I've been trying to get my grooming back on. So that's kind of what's shaking and grooving. But I'm very excited about my guest. I'm waiting for her to join us shortly. But what are you guys going on for the weekend? I am planning to, this is going to sound really corny. I am planning to declutter and do spring cleaning because I do that every year. I go through my closet. If I haven't touched it in 2 years, I donate it. I give it away for charity. Or actually, I also go on female comedian Facebook groups. And then I hit them up and I'm like, ladies, I know that some of you might be struggling financially. I have all these beautiful clothes. Do you want them? They're all yours. This is the size. Come take it. So that's kind of what I like to do. But yeah, spring cleaning. Do you guys like to do spring cleaning? I don't know who's here and who's watching, but yeah, let me know if you guys do spring cleaning, because I think spring cleaning is a big to-do with me. Also because I sit and do these live streams every single day, 5 days a week, and I have my desk, and although it looks very nice and pristine, my creative side has like this jumble and all this like chaos around me, because I guess that's how my brain works. So I have to take the time this weekend, clear out, organize everything, and that's what I'm gonna do. What about you guys? Do you guys do spring cleaning? Do you have a 2-year rule? If you haven't touched anything in 2 years, out it goes. Do you toss it? Are you a hoarder? My neighbor next door, they hoard so much that the landlord had to be like, yo, you're a crazy hoarder. Your shit is like coming through the windows and coming through the door. You gotta like, you gotta throw some of the shit out. And he got in trouble because he was stashing his hoarding stuff outside his apartment, which is of course blocking everybody's passageway. So please don't be that friggin' hoarder. You know, there are people that would love to take stuff and use things that are probably just sitting in your closet collecting dust, and you probably don't give a shit about it, and you should. So you should just donate it, and that's kind of what I do with my spring cleaning. 2-year rule: haven't touched anything in 2 years, pack it up, donate to Salvation Army or Goodwill, or hit up a bunch of your friends, be like, hey, I have these beautiful clothes, I just don't want to throw them out, do you guys want to take them? And of course declutter with my all my paperwork and stuff. So that's kind of what I do. No spring cleaning here. Why not, James? Why not? Spring cleaning, isn't it good for the soul? I think it's good for the soul. So I am waiting for my very talented friend to join us today, because I've never had a musician on before. Have I? I don't recall having a musician as a guest. So I'm very excited to have a musician. And not just any musician, a Billboard charting musician. I think she might be having trouble logging in, so I'm waiting for her to join us. She's going to be joining us soon. Oh, look, Nicole's here. Hi, Nicole. James said, I don't recall any. Yeah, I don't recall any either. I think that's why I'm very excited to have a musician, and not just any, like I mentioned. A chart-topping musician. I think she's having technical issues. Don't you freaking love technology? I've been doing this shit for over a year, and I still run into problems with technology. She's having problems logging in. So, Nicole's here. Hey, Nicole, you like to do spring cleaning? What do you like to do? How is it you know what? I'm actually not even shocked to hear that James is like, no spring cleaning here. Yeah, because you're a dude. I don't think a lot of dudes do spring cleaning unless it revolves around their garages or their basement. So they have to go and, you know, the hookers that they've buried in the basement. They have to get rid of their bodies. That's about the only reason I think guys would do their spring cleaning. That's too harsh. Is that? It's too dark. It's too dark, you guys. It's too dark. Listen, I wouldn't go into this darkness if my guest had just signed in and come on at time. So I'm waiting for her. I'm sure she's trying, but I don't know what's going on with her. So. And she's not even brown, you guys. She's white, and she's on Brown Standard Time. So I'm literally waiting for her. Let's see what's going on. Yeah. I don't know if I can play her music without getting in trouble because I don't know if it's going to be a copyright issue, but I would love to play some of her music. But maybe when she comes on, I can ask her permission. Oh, Nicole said I just gave my stuff away. Who did you give it away to? Goodwill? Salvation Army? Who are you giving this stuff to? Let's see here. I think she's almost here. She's almost here. Let's see. All right. Slowly but surely, you guys. She's gonna make it. April sent me. She was waiting for you to start. Oh, no. I'm waiting. There she is. There she is. All right. Okay. Guys, I was looking for an amazing vocal coach. And then I, as luck would have it, I stumbled upon this brilliant woman. Not only is she a brilliant vocal coach, she's actually a Billboard chart-topping artist and musician. She had her first single release called Lose Control. It was debuted on the Billboard magazine chart under the Hot Dance Club Play category in 2018. And here's my very talented friend. Oh, come on. Here is my very talented friend, April Diamond. How are you? Can you hear
me? Hey, girl. There you are.
I can
hear you.
Can you hear me? Your sound? Yeah. There's a little wheel in the bottom. Can you click that and check the sound?
Okay.
No, I can't hear you.
Okay.
Can you talk?
I'm working on it. Talking.
I think if you click the wheel in the bottom, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Oh, interesting. So she can hear me, but I can't hear her. Okay.
What?
Headphones. Yep, that's what we have. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. I think what you need to do is you need to click the little wheelie thing in the bottom. Click that and see what the input says.
Camera audio says default.
Or maybe take your headphones out and maybe just speak into your computer. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the thing is I have to use my AirPods here. Let's see.
I can't read your lips.
Try this.
Well, Nika says we can hear her. Mona's mic is better. Oh, Nika said we can hear her. James said, sounds okay. Mona's mic is better. Oh, interesting. I wonder what that is about.
I need to set up my other mic for your podcast. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Trying to swap out my speaker. Maybe it's a speakerish.
Sorry about that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Can you talk, April?
Hello. Checking. Testing.
Interesting.
Testing.
Yeah, I don't know why it's doing what it's doing. It's very strange. Huh.
Mic, speaker. Can't hear me?
I don't know what's going on with my sound today. I don't know what is
going on. What's going on?
Strange. Very strange.
Let's see. Bluetooth. Crazy. Can you hear me now? Okay. I'm trying a couple things. Can you guys out there hear me? Can you guys hear me out there? No? Uh-oh. I can't hear you now. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. I'll figure this out here. Hello.
Did people just hear me say that I want to kill myself? No.
I can hear you.
This is actually kind of entertaining. You know what, Nika? Laugh at my pain. Why don't you just laugh at my pain? Why don't we do this, April? Why don't we keep you here? Are you on your phone or where are you?
I'm on my laptop, on my computer.
Let me see if so I can weird, just call right? you on your phone and I can get your audio here.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah. Is there a yeah? Let's
so
do
I'm
this.
With my AirPods to yeah. my phone.
Okay,
so
let's do it.
Clearer. Okay, let's
do it.
All right, hold on.
This is so fun.
You know what, dude? It happens.
You know what? Sometimes fucking shit happens, man. What are you gonna do? Like, you know?
Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Oh, do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh yes. Okay. I think we made it. I think we did it.
I think we did it too. We're gonna keep this. I'll hear your audio, and we're golden. Can everybody hear us? I hope so.
Hi.
Yay! Welcome, April Diamond. Sorry about all the technical difficulties. I'm so excited to have you here.
You know what? I'm gonna have you come over here, and we're gonna figure this out.
We're gonna figure this. We're gonna get to the bottom of this bullshit. April Diamond, you and I have become friends in such a short period of time, but I don't, we've never actually had the time to actually sit down and really get to know each other because most of the time we work when we meet up. But I wanted to ask you, how old were you when you knew you wanted to be a singer and a performer?
I was a kid. I was, I was trying to do well in school and get good grades, which was always a struggle for me.
Yeah.
And I always leaned toward music and English and, you know, all of the arts, that type of thing. So me and math were not friends. And let's see, turn April up a little bit. Okay, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. I'll get more on my phone. So as a kid, I was just really, distracted with music and life and colors and woo. It's like, okay, April, you need to do your homework. And I'm like, what homework? Oh, look. So it's just like from the moment that I could, appreciate music and listen and sing along, I was just always singing. So it was kind of from day one. That was my outlet. That was my love. That was, I tried to do other things, join sports. And I like sports, actually.
Yeah.
But singing was like, that was my.
I mean, you're what, like 3 years old and what? You're like dancing around the house and you're like, I'm going to be a singer. I'm going to be a performer.
Yeah, I think I danced around the house and put on shows, and my family was like, what are you doing? they were like, oh, that's cute, but, someday she'll grow up and get a real job. But I never did.
Right, right.
I tried a real job, but, it just didn't work for me. I was really fascinated by musical things, by artistic things.
Yeah.
I had my grandmother who is, so I have two, well, one grandmother on one side was incredibly artistic and she made clothes and she sang on the radio that I found out recently.
Wow.
So I'm trying to get a hold of those recordings that she made and have those mastered so we can hear my grandma sing. I never got to really hear her sing because she died when I was young. And then my other grandmother on my other side who played the piano and organ in church and that kind of thing. And she was the one that was like, I want you to sing in church. I want you to sing a solo in church. I'm like,
wow.
Why? Grandma's like,
how old are you at this point?
9.
Wow. So you're saying what? I'm not going to sing. And then what? You eventually sing?
Yeah, I did. And you've got these grandmothers that are like, I don't take no for an answer.
Right. Right.
There's no option. You're going to do it. And I'm just like trying to avoid her for a year at family functions. It's just like, I got to go. I don't want to talk to grandma. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So, I just did it to get her off my back. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. Can I just keep my eyes closed and jump? And, but the thing that happened was that I loved it and I just, I loved it. And I was like, I think this is for me, even though it still scared me to death. I was just like, this is for me. This is where I should land.
You know, April, I feel like so many people, like I'm a stand-up comic and one of the key things I always hear a lot is that, oh my God, how can you get up there and talk to people? Isn't it terrifying? And I wonder, if that's the same thing for you, that you get asked as a singer, it's like, oh my God, aren't you terrified to get up there and sing and, like, you know, have all these eyes on you or people possibly criticize you for what you do?
I was terrified for the longest, and I still, you know, I have my moments now occasionally, but I turn my nervous energy into, my nervousness into energy, I should say. And I was terrified. I was absolutely petrified to sing in front of people. And, you know, being a kid, I kind of make fun of it and say, oh, when I was 9, I was scared to death. Well, it took me another 10 years after that to even get to the point where I'm like, okay, I need to, like, I wouldn't do auditions. I wouldn't do any of those things. I was too scared. And so I made myself, you know, go audition for musicals and perform. And I think one of the things that's interesting that I wound up becoming a music major in college and then I wound up teaching, I feel like that was my roundabout way of, like, sort of getting out of auditioning. I was like, I don't want to do that. And this is the weirdest thing. I was thinking about that the other day. Going, why did I just go out for all these auditions?
Yeah. But wait a minute. Sorry. So you went to college and what did you go to? Did you go to music school or, like, you go to music college? Like, where'd you go?
Yeah, I went to Azusa Pacific University.
Okay.
School of Music. It's here in just outside the Los Angeles area. It's east from here. So I wound up becoming a music major. I started off as a business major because my dad's in finance and my family is financial planning firm and real estate and finance, all this stuff. And I tried it and I was like, I just don't feel it at all what I'm trying to make money. And they're like, you want to make money and do that? I'm like, I'm like, oh, squirrel, you know, me focusing in front of that computer for hours.
That's not gonna happen. That's not gonna happen. I mean, April, besides your grandmother pushing you and the other grandmother being creative and artistic, is there anyone else in your family that has, like, these kind of music capabilities get this from? Like, you know, it must have come from somewhere. Because in my family, there were no stand-up comics. Like, that's not a thing. Like,
yeah, where did you get your thing? You're like iconic. You know, you're your own thing.
I don't know, April, where I got it from. I think I try to look back on which one of my parents was the funny one. I mean, both my parents had, like, funny moments, I guess you can say. But they weren't like, oh, my God, my mom and my dad are hilarious. Like, it was never like, it was like literally not like that.
But I heard you mimic your mom, okay?
Yes.
And you are so funny. I mean, it's cute. And I can imagine that your mom is, you know, that sweet little voice and everything, but you are so, that was so hilarious.
Yeah, my mom always wanted to be, she wanted to be, a radio host. That was her dream.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she wanted to be a radio host. And I was like, Mom, I was like, what are you going to talk about? Like, yourself the entire time? Like, what are you going to talk about? She's a narcissist. I was like, what are you going to talk about? But I always wonder, you know, whenever you kind of, I try to map out the talent part. It's like, where did that come from? Like, is it accumulation of a few generations? And finally, one person the younger generation says, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do this, you know?
Yeah, I think my grandmother on my mom's side, she used to sing, you know, she's creative, but she used to sing around the house. And then my mom, okay, this is a funny story too. My mom, when I was a kid growing up, my mom would be reciting and singing, like, cartoon themes and movie themes. And, like, she loved, who's the old guy that sang Georgia? Ray Charles,
ooh, the best. Yeah,
she would always sing songs to us to make us go to bed or to make us eat or to whatever. So she always had a song lyric. So when it was time to go to bed, my mom would be singing Hit the Road, Jack, and Don't You Come Back No More, No More. I'm like, Mom, can't you just say go to bed? She's like, no, it's Hit the Road, Jack, and Don't You Come Back No More. So I was thinking about this the other day. My mom would sing all these goofy songs, and she would be like, mimicking, you know, movie tunes, that kind of thing. And I think I got a lot of that from her.
Wow. Interesting. Did she ever tell you that she have any ambitions of becoming an artist and just never got the opportunity?
You know, I don't know with my mom. My mom is probably, she's very much in her head about the stuff that she does. And she makes, oh, She makes these things. You want to see what my mom makes?
Yeah.
Let me show you.
Yeah, yeah.
She makes.
Is that the teddy bear behind you? Oh.
She makes wreaths and she makes these guys. Oh, I need to bring
one of those. Oh.
She loves the whole flower thing.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah. So she makes this and there's a bunch of wreaths over there that she makes. So she's kind of like my grandmother in that.
But which has nothing to do with music, though. Literally nothing. Flowers have nothing to do with music.
Yeah, she's a listener of music.
What about your what about your siblings? Like, and do you have any siblings that are like, yeah, you know, we're want to be artists too? I mean, you know what it is, April? Like, I don't know how it was for you, but for me, like, there was no way in hell that I could go to my family at a young age and be like, I'm going to be a performer. They'll be like,
exactly.
They'll be like, shut the hell up. Mind? Exactly.
They'll be like, make any money at that, right?
It wasn't even about money, April. I think because I guess it's like that cultural difference. Like I partially grew up in Pakistan and for us, it was very much about, it was as if that if you're a woman and if you go in the arts, then you're like some level of prostitution. There's like some, you're like a prostitute on some level, which is ridiculous, right? I remember my brother telling me when I came out of my artist closet and telling him that I wanted to be a stage actor, which is what I started off as. And my brother was just like, he was like, oh my God. He's like, girls from good families don't do that. Like that means you're a hooker. That's what that means. And I was like, no way. I was like, I think hookers make way more money than struggling artists. I'm like, way more money. I'm like,
oh, you know what?
Yeah. Way more money.
No, Anna, seriously, it's putting people, it's putting us in that space where, you know, you just want attention or you just want, you know, yeah, you're whoring yourself out or you just want people to look at you and you know, I've been accused of that. It's from people too. It's so wrong. It's so wrong. People don't understand. They don't take the time to understand you as a person. They really need to, because you're a fabulous person. Talented person. You know, you're very like out there telling your story and, you know, telling my story so graciously. And people don't know that about you. People just make assumptions.
Yes.
People sometimes just want to have power over you a little bit so that you'll calm down.
Yeah.
So popular and famous and good, you know, calm down. And you know what? I'm not going to calm down.
Exactly. I mean, you know what it is? I think there's a difference between being a hooker and being an attention whore and just being a whore. You know, I think attention whores don't get paid as much as whores do, which is, you know, I mean, you're just looking for attention more than anything. But that being said, I mean, April, you have a whole bunch of siblings like I do. I have four older brothers. You have what, three brothers or four?
Yeah, I have four and one sister.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, and none of them have pursued the arts the way you have.
No, my one brother has a band and they travel around, Orange County and such. And they're super popular. They're called Johnny on the Spot. They're a fun band.
Okay.
And he and I sit down and occasionally attempt to songwrite and whatnot. But, my dad actually played the guitar and the bass, and my brother Billy plays the guitar. He's a really good guitar player and he taught for a while, and his wife plays the drums. So in their band, she plays the drums, he plays the guitar. So it's cool. But, I mean, other than, like, I was always singing in church as a kid in the choirs and singing on worship teams, and my sister, she would sing a little bit.
Yeah.
And my mom would just be sitting out in there in the audience, just, you know, cheering along and just, you know, singing along with us. But, not like this. Like, I'm kind of going after it really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking the harder road, but I don't mind. I just plow through, you know.
Yeah, I mean, what about your mom? Was she supportive of what you wanted to do or no?
Yeah, she was. I think she was. I don't think it's something that she even understands. Like, even to this day, she's like watching me on social media going, wow, like she's actually doing what she said she was going to do. What does that even mean? What does it even look like? You know? So
yeah,
they're starting to, my family, my mom and such, they're all starting to kind of go, oh, okay. That's a thing.
Right.
That's a thing.
Right.
Because it takes, in the music business, it's rough and you've got to do your time and you've got to, you know, kick out some singles and you got to promote, and there's so much to it,
right?
That all my people that I work with, they're relentless and they stick with it, and they're behind me and they're pushing me, and so I'm doing that too as well, pushing forward. But when you're looking from the outside and some years roll by, they're like, gosh, is anything ever gonna happen? Like, well, it's been 2 years. I'm like, dude,
right?
it takes time. It's just like you getting on TV shows.
That's
right.
Right.
It's like you know, getting out there, being in movies, TV shows. You've done really well. You made the jump from, I think, the financial world, and you jumped into acting and comedian and all of that. Like, look at you.
You know what?
Kicked in the pants.
Because I don't have a life, April, and that's why I'm able to do all these things. No, but I wanted to actually come back and actually talk to you. This thing about the music business, you know, a lot of people talk about how difficult it is to break into the stand-up world. And yes, stand-up is hard. But I feel like music is even harder than stand-up. Am I wrong or am I right?
The music?
Yeah.
It's hard. It depends on what you want to do. Because there are many areas of singing and music that you can go into. So you could be a backup singer. You could be, you know, in a band. You could travel with some, you know, little lesser known artists and still make, you know, a good living and travel around the world and tour and that kind of thing. If you want to do something as aggressive as what I'm doing and, you know, get into the big music business of like being a major artist, then you've got to, yeah, it's a lot.
Right.
You got to raise money and you've got to find a producer that really knows how to position you and work with you with the right kind of music. And there's so many facets to it. Just
right.
Takes so much time. But I'm, you know, it's taken me all the time, but I'm here.
Yeah.
And yes. Really want it because you're going to get, you know.
Yeah.
You got to be relentless.
I mean, when you went to Azusa, right? The music school. Uh-huh. And you have to, like, make the demo tape and stuff like that. Did you have to, like, work through college to pay your own bills, pay your own school, and, like, pay for your demo tape and then get it made? Which, you know, April, I think about this sometimes where I look at somebody like Taylor Swift. I look at somebody like Beyonce, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, I think long gone are the days where you have to struggle for your art, I feel. Mm-hmm. Because I look at these two women and they're at the top of their game. Right, they're like the two highest paid female musicians in the world, right? And the kind of accomplishment that they have. But if you look at their backgrounds, they come from super supportive parents with money and contacts and a lot of leverage. So they didn't have to go and get a day job to fucking pay for their college or pay money for the tuition. Now, don't get me wrong. I am obsessed with both of them. I love Beyonce. I love Taylor Swift. I love them both.
Who doesn't?
Right? Yeah, this is not like me taking a shit on them or anything like that.
No, course,
I think I'm talking about the back, behind the scenes, the reality of what it takes to actually go and break in. Because, you know, April Diamond has to go and get a day job or has to work in order to pay for her college and her demo tape. Beyonce and Taylor Swift don't have to do that because their mommy and daddy help pay for that and, you know, help them out. Is that a safe thing to say, April?
Yes. Taylor Swift had an exorbitant amount of money behind her to thrust her into the music business. Yeah. Large dollars. And Beyonce, same thing. And she had a whole machine ready for her, ready to push her as an independent artist, push her as a major artist out of Destiny's Child. So
right.
They just launched her. They were all ready for it.
Because her father is also a Columbia record executive, which a lot of people don't know. Mr. Knowles is a former Columbia record executive. I mean, that's how they were able to get a deal. But a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people think she just kind of got lucky, but that's simply not the case. The amount of work and effort and, you know, daddy's a Columbia record executive. Mom owns a salon and is a stylist. All these things, you know. And I think, April, is it also safe to say, I know that Lady Gaga came out and defended Kesha when she accused the producer of sexual harassment. I can't imagine. I mean, I know that the stand-up comedy world is bad, but what is it like in the music business when they know that you have young, starry-eyed, like, you know, this German girls who want to break into the business, and then they're like, if you sleep with me, you'll get X, Y, and Z. You know? Is that something that you experienced?
You know what? I have been blessed. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful that I have the team behind me that I have, because I didn't have to go through that. I found my producer, David Longoria, and I found Del Oro Music at a point where I was ready to launch and, you know, go do the thing. And he started, you know, Del Oro Music years ago, and the team there is supportive. They kind of shield me from a lot of that. So a lot of events that I would perform at or things I would have to go to red carpets for, all that, there's a lot of, you know, shady stuff. So I would show up and do what I need to do. And then they'd be like, okay, you can go, or, you know, you don't need to do this. Take this picture, take that picture. Don't go there. Don't do this, but do this instead. So they're always guiding me, you know, showing me what the best thing was to do and who to, even, you know, down to who to interview with and who not to. There's so many do's and don'ts, because if you get on the wrong list or you're, you know, seen doing something that's, you know, people don't look at the don't look at them in the industry as legit, then it kind of looks shade on you. So I'm really blessed to have that kind of network of people at an independent level as an artist that I am at, hitting Billboard chart and getting ready to do it again, for sure. We're working on some stuff, and soon we'll be hearing some, hopefully some things on the radio too. So to get to that point is a lot of work, and it's a lot of teamwork. But for people out there that want to do that, I'm actually creating a training called Making of an Artist, so I can help future artists make it in a business without selling their soul and without losing zillions of dollars, but doing it the right way and making progress, and in a really solid, legit way with really good people who look out for you.
That's awesome.
That's hard to find.
So, so you have a independent record label behind you that protects you and guides you. But for how long were you struggling before you found them to come and even guide you and protect you and, you know, shield you in the way they do?
So I was, you know, singing in musicals and shows and doing things here and there with some other people, doing side projects, working with other songwriters for fun. You know, and just, I was with a friend, and they're like, you know, I've heard of this record producer, you know, his name is David Longoria. And he was at my church, actually, he and his wife, Letitia, and I knew his wife. So I was actually directed by some friends, like, why don't you go talk to David? I'm like, okay. And this was a long time ago. And so we talked and we chatted and we said, well, let's do something. Let's do a project. Let's have you come in. He had me come in and do backup vocals and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And so we did that, and we're trying to figure out what kind of project we're going to do. And then, you know, now we've got a couple of songs, a couple of singles, and now I'm about to finish an album and lot more music coming. So,
yeah.
How that all like came about. But
I mean, I listened to Loose Control. You know, the music in me, I love both of them. They're very dancey and they kind of get stuck in your head. So you guys should totally, people watching this should totally go and check this out. I wanted to actually ask you, how do you, you've been in the business for how long now? 15 years, 18 years?
Since I was a kid.
Since you were a kid. Okay. Yeah. So that's a long time.
Yeah. I mean, in the business, like signed to record label, you know, 7-8 years.
Right.
6-8 years, yeah.
I mean, but, like,
you know, doing music forever. I've always been doing music, so yeah. You know.
I mean, like, for us, right? As stand-up comics, we go on stage, we ground it out for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever. But after the 10-year mark is when you begin to really find your voice. How is it in the music? How is it for you guys? Like, what year is it where you guys are like, it's standard in the music business where it's like, oh, once you hit, like, you've been in the business for 8 years or 10 years, that's when you begin to find your voice.
Yeah.
So what is that? What number is that?
I don't know that it's like that.
Okay.
My business. I think what it is you work through some songs, you do some projects, you figure out what the thing is. Like, some people... The thing with me, I had to work my way into this because of some things that we set out to do, which was to hit the Billboard chart. And so there are a lot of things that had to be lined up, and that took a lot of time. It took a while.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because independent artists, you know, we've got one shot and we don't have a zillion dollars. We have the few dollars that we scraped up, and we have to make it count, and it has to work and it has to go because we can't go back and do it again. Well, we can, but yeah, we got to make everything count. So we, you know, have to manage everything and line things up so that it totally goes. But some people are, you know, like you say, when they're funded fully like that, they can just go, they can launch, they can just go.
That's right.
And for me, I've done a lot of other things with training because I enjoy coding, I enjoy other things that I do. So I think for me, it probably started out more like a side thing, and now it's becoming the thing, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a different focus for me because I'd like to do a lot of things. I like being a singer. I love being a voice coach. I've loved working with you, Mona. You're the best. You're
well, great. Same here. Oh my God, are you kidding me? I love taking. Oh,
yeah, yeah. I just love that. And so I probably spent more time doing that than, you know, songwriting and some other things that I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But for some people, they walk in there and they, you know, a couple years. Yeah, they can pull out some albums and they can pull out some singles and they can get it going. But I think my focus was that there were a lot of other things I wanted to do. So,
right.
But now I'm ready to rock.
So what's your, look, I'm very excited about whatever project you're working on. How would you describe your genre? Like, what's your genre? Is it electronic? Is it dance? Is it, what is it? Pop? What is it?
Yeah. So this album is, it's a pop dance. It's going to, it will be on the dance chart and it's going to be on the music chart.
Okay.
And also, it will be, you're going to probably hear it on the radio soon, but it will be that this particular album will be like more of a dancey thing. So what that means is the different clubs around the country, I need to fix my ring light thing. The different clubs around the country will be playing the song at the dance club. So when you are going out, when the dance clubs finally open up, some of them are starting to, you'll be hearing I Got the Music in Me and the different remixes of it.
Got it.
And that would have already happened except for COVID.
Right. Ooh. Of course. I mean, April, like, you know, I know that in the, I don't know how it is in the dance music world, but I know in the pop world, it's very young, right? It's very, you know, pop. It's very like young. I think, isn't there like a cutoff where you're like, oh, you hit 27 or 30. Now you're too old. You can't do pop anymore. Is there such a thing in the electronic dance world? Like, is that something that's, you know, that it's just like, oh, after certain, it's only for certain age? Or like, is there ageism, I guess? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Is there ageism? I think in the entertainment business, there's ageism no matter what you do. But I don't think that, I think pop music is just so, it's universal, excuse me.
Yeah.
I think it's for everybody.
Right.
I think that you just need to put your stuff out there and you just have to shine in everything that you do. And some people, you know, make it really young, like Ariana Grande, she like popped it out there really quickly.
Right.
And Taylor Swift. And then there's other people that have taken longer to get into the business too and to pump up their artistry, that kind of thing. But,
right.
I don't know. I think that it's a different time now. I think the music business has changed, and I think there's a lot more opportunities for everybody, mm-hmm. no matter where you come from.
Yeah.
And that part I like. And with the, you know, being able to put our music out on social media and promote.
Right.
Works great for me.
Right.
Works great for me.
Right. Absolutely. I'm April, do you, first of all, how expensive is it to just go in studio and record one song? Like, what is the cost of something like this? 10,000, 15,000. It depends on the, it just depends on the production of it, right? The production,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It depends on the production, but that's like the starting.
Wow.
That would be the starting. Yeah. For a single.
Wow.
To get started.
Wow.
And then there's promotion and other things. So there's a lot of fundraising that happens. And so that is really actually on the moderate to lower end, you know, so.
That's expensive. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine it costing me $15,000 to go out and tell a joke. How would any of my dick jokes ever make it out in the world? What a disappointment that would be. What a sad world we would live in. Oh man. Jeez.
So I posted on my Facebook the other day, like when we first had our first lesson.
Yeah.
I posted, I just worked with a stand-up comedian. The first time I've ever worked with a stand-up comedian, I laughed at the whole damn session.
I know. I was. I think you were making me do my set. You were like, "Let's hear your voice. Why don't you do some of your bits?" And then I was. I think I was doing one of the newer bits that I've been working on about why we always have to have women's faces shown in Botox fucking commercials or like wrinkle creams. It's like, why does it have to be a woman's face? Why can't it be a dude's face? Like, why is it our freaking faces, you know? And the fact that, you know, what's wrinkled since birth? It's balls. And so why'd you put the Botox on the balls? Why are you messing with my face for this shit? Over it. Over it, April.
No, no.
I'm over it. So funny. I'm over it. April,
you're so funny, Mona.
Well, thank you. You're very talented yourself. April, do you like? So I guess going back to the question about genre, like, how would you like? Because so here's my question: when I
for pop and for dance,
yeah. I mean, I look at somebody like Adele, right? Adele came in. I feel like whenever an artist chooses a song about like heartbreak or about like getting crushed, because it's such a universal thing where everybody has felt unrequited love somewhere along the line, that it is it's such a song that just connects with you. You're like, oh man, I get it. I know what that feels like. Is that something as an artist that you also strive to do, where you're just like, I want to go into a category, I want to sing a song that just connects with everyone universally? Or is it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm working on stuff like that right now.
But in the dancey, like, let's everybody get on the dance floor, like, fun, poppy kind of thing.
There's a lot of that, actually. There's a lot of that kind of what you're saying, but it's also dance music, too. Like, love song, dance music, they put love song. It can be a love song and dance music, and it happens a lot. So it's not just, it can only talk about dancing on the dance floor or something. No, but they have a lot more content, I think. I think the dance music now does. But, for sure. Like, I'm working on a song right now that I can play at the piano and sing. It's just going to be, like, stripped down, just me.
Uh-huh.
And so that, you're going to get to hear me just do that playing. And that it'll be that kind of song. You know, it'll be that kind of, like, love song, longing. I want to express myself. I want to tell my story. I want to tell what I've been through.
Yeah.
And because we've all been through, you know, some kind of heartbreak. And I think the story that people are telling their music,
That's a friggin' understatement. Yeah, April.
Oh, my gosh. Mona, we can talk about that all day long. But it's just like,
Jesus.
Why is April Diamond still single? And I get, every time I go live, I'm always like, are you single? Like, all these, I just have all these requests. Are you single? I'm like,
are they dudes from India and Pakistan? You are very beautiful. I would like to talk to you. Can you tell me? Yeah. So they have like this gimmick, right? So these Indian and Pakistani guys, they have this gimmick. I shit you not. Especially white girls. They love hitting up white girls. Like, beautiful white girls like you, they love hitting you up. And they, and beware, this is their opening line. They are just like, hello, you are very beautiful. I would love to learn more about your culture. Can you tell me more about your culture? And you're like, I had these Indian and Pakistani guys hit me up, like fucking sliding into my DM and asking me about my culture. Motherfucker, I come from the same culture as you. What do you mean, tell me about your culture? Look at me. I look like you. I look like your aunt or your sister. What do we tell you about my culture? But that's like their opening line, like trying to like slide into your DMs and be like, so tell me about your culture. It's like, I come from the same culture as you. So no, it's fucking weird. It's ridiculous, April.
When you do your accent, I'm like crying laughing.
It's ridiculous. Do you get these? Oh, April, I have to ask you this because I think every single woman now in America, and I think in the West, I think even in India, even in South Asia, and I don't know about Middle East, but do you get unsolicited dick pics slided into your DMs?
I have not.
What?
I haven't had any.
I think you're...
Maybe somebody censored my... somebody censored my Facebook or something. I haven't had any.
Really?
Mona, I don't... Yeah, I know. You're surprised. Well, that's one of the reasons
I think you're downplaying your famousness. I think that's what's happening right now.
No, I haven't. I think the swiping problem, you know, when I first, you know, everybody's tried social media dating, which is like, oh, okay, that was terrible.
Yeah.
So you're like, no, I meant a picture of you, not, okay, bye. Gross.
Bring.
No, I haven't. So, yes.
I don't have I think I've talked about this before. I don't have a problem with getting dick pics as long as it's attached to a bank account or a mortgage, like a house mortgage or like, you know, your credit score. Like, I'm down for it. I don't mind. Like a family picture of like.
I just
No?
I just, in the dating world, no, when it happened in, you know, the few times that, you know, I tried to, like, social media date, like, April, you need to date. You need to date. And I'm like, okay, okay, I tried that, and here's the pictures I got.
Wow.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, not the not the most desirable. I mean, April, you've been in the business. You hustle and work really hard for what you do. I mean, what is kind of your ultimate goal? Like, do you eventually want to become a very successful producer? Do you always want to be an artist till whatever, till you're like 90? What's your dream?
Yeah, you know what? I think I see producing in my future for sure.
Okay.
Because I'm as a vocal trainer and teaching other people, I think that I think that lends itself to that. And since I have done so much work in the studio, I've learned a lot from David. David produces great vocals, amazing vocals. I think that I might be the next gen of producers after I make the next couple albums, which happening now.
Yeah.
And I think that I will eventually do that because I just love producing other artists. And I think the one thing that I can do for a lot of the singers out there is I can give them really good direction and I can teach them how to come back on that mic and just get better each time.
Right.
Instead of fearing it, because a lot of singers will fear it and they'll go, oh man, I got to get on that mic again. That mic is scary. It's not like it's not completely like talking into your mic or just talking or a regular microphone that you would, like a wireless mic you'd hold on a stage. Like, microphone in a recording studio is a whole other world. You hear things you don't ever hear anywhere else.
Right.
So detailed.
I mean, April, I've had big black things in my face before, so it does not scare me. At all.
I gotta bring my ring light closer. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay.
April, you are light enough. I don't think you need any more light. I think you're... I think you're doing just fine. Yeah. Okay. I think you're just doing just fine. I mean, April, let me ask you this. You're a performer. You do what you do. Does it... Mm-hmm. How challenging is it, I guess, how challenging is it? Is it difficult working with producers, especially like male producers? And are there even enough female producers in behind the scenes?
No, there aren't a whole lot of female producers actually. And I think that would be great to be one of the first or one of the few. My experiences have been mostly good, actually. I've been lucky, but I hear a lot of horror stories about not so great producers or about producers that hit on their singers. And, that goes on. And I am lucky that I have been sheltered from that.
Yeah.
That doesn't go on in our record company. That doesn't go on at all. Like, it's a very family oriented situation. It's very, straight up, and we get to work, and there's no ridiculous funny business going on.
Right.
But the communication, I think sometimes, things get intense in there sometimes. And sure. I'm working really hard, and then David's working really hard, and we're trying to make a really great performance. And sometimes it gets intense in there, but that's what it takes sometimes to make a really great record. You've got to hash it out. You got to figure out what it is you need to do.
Yeah.
So try some different things.
What?
And we have different ideas. Like, I have an idea or he'll have an idea and it'll just be,
yeah,
we're working it out.
Why do you think that is? I mean, there are so many women in the music business, right? I mean, some of the most, Beyonce just became what? She has 28 Grammys and more than anyone ever in the history of Grammys. So clearly it's dominated by women, I feel. But that being said, why do you think there are there's not enough or any, for that matter, female producers behind the scenes? Why is that?
I think it's a confidence thing. I think women may not be as much encouraged to do it. And I think it's kind of a man's world, but the artists, the female artists, I don't know. That's a really good question. And I definitely would want to look into that a little bit more. But I think it's because I think sometimes we look at producers like the male female thing when the female artist is in there with the male producer. We almost look at them as like, I don't want to say dad, but like somebody that we look up to, like they have our best interest in mind.
Sure.
And we want to please and we want to do a really great job. And I think sometimes that dynamic is probably what, I know I felt that before too. But I've sort of grown into my voice now where I can navigate, you know, what it is I want to do. And I'm getting really, you know, focused on, like you say, you know exactly what you want to do when you hit the stage. Like, now I know that.
Right.
But when you're growing as a singer and an artist, you sort of depend on your producer for that. So I can see how, you know, the female to the male is almost like a dad in a way. And that's like not the best way to describe it, but
it's or, he's your mentor. Somebody. I mean, he's your mentor. Yeah, he's your like guru. Yeah. Right. So
exactly. So I think there's that, but I don't know. I think maybe women hesitate, like, I don't know if I want to, you know, maybe they don't want to be, or there are women DJs. There's a lot of DJs, but
right.
It's interesting. Female producers. No, but I think I'd be a good one. I just have to learn how to move all the buttons.
Yeah. I mean, I would think, well, so a music producer is a little bit more than that, right? You're bringing the beats, to the artist, and they're like, oh my God, I love this. But then you're also, there's also the business aspect where you have to go and have these relationships with these labels and,
yeah.
Right, like Columbia Records or whatever. You go and have to, so doesn't the producer have like, so I know that in the film and the TV world, you have your line producer, you have your creative producer, you have your executive producers, and they have different jobs. How is it in the music business? How does the producer, what is the title of a producer really does?
A lot of, producers have different specialties. Some of them make beats and are specific to that. And
like Timbaland, that's what he does. Timbaland, doesn't he do that? Right.
Well, he can do both vocals and the beats.
Mm.
Right. So David, my producer, is good at making the music, but he's also good at, you know, producing the vocals themselves. So my vocal tracks are always really solid, really good. So he does both. And it's focused for pop and for dance and everything. But yeah, some producers, they just kind of let the artist figure out how they want to sing it. And then they take the voice and they, you know, add a lot of things to the voice. I hear that a lot. We all hear that in dance music and that kind of thing. But I legit sing all that, like, for sure. It's not just, my voice is pure 100%. So what you hear is 1,000% me. And
right.
I may be,
it's not auto-tuned. Like,
hearing a lot of the music, but yeah, there's always a little auto-tune. That's something else too. There's always a little bit of auto-tune in everything. And that's even with good singers, because there's a certain level of where the pitch has to be digitally that is not human, you know? So you got to match that pitch, and it's got to be radio quality and digital, and digital downloads are like exact. And, you know, the humans don't match that digital thing exact all the time.
Right.
So everything is just a little fixed up, but, you know, I think that there's some things that are really fixed up, but hey, that's not me.
Yeah.
Most of what you hear is raw April Diamond. I'm 100% me.
Right. You know, Kanye West, when he wasn't married to the Crazies, said something really brilliant. He said that he believes that the human voice is the most powerful musical tool in the world. Like, you can manipulate the human voice in so many different ways, which I 100% agree with him, which is quite brilliant. I mean, how do you kind of see music? How do you see the, you know, human voice, where you're just like, is human voice there to just carry a tune? Or do you feel that the human voice can be manipulated in so many ways, and it's just such a magnificent tool for singing?
Yeah. Singing and speaking are self-expression. And so my voice training system, Let the Voice Out, is all about that. It's about expressing. It's about you are your individual sound. Like, that's who you are. And yes, it's very powerful, because your voice is you, and it tells the world who you are, tells the world your story. And it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. It's your particular, you know, vibration and tone and all of that. And we all have our own. It's like our voice print, you know, if you will.
Right.
So we are all unique. And that's why I think that everyone can sing. Not everybody is going to be making records like me, but everyone can sing. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that when you use your voice and you put your voice out there, and you're confident with it and you like it, you're communicating, and that self-expression is something that is a fulfilling thing, right?
Yeah.
You're talking to the world, but you're also fulfilling your own soul by doing it.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know,
expression.
Yeah. I mean, April, you mentioned to me that you have quite a roster of vocal students. Like, you have astronauts, people who work for NASA, that are your What is
I have lawyers, I have doctors, I have traveling nurses. I have one scientist who works at JPL. Yeah, he takes lessons with me.
What does he need the lessons for? Like, what is he singing?
He wants to sing. So I don't know if you know this, but at NASA, at JPL, they used to have, they don't anymore, I don't think. I think they got rid of it, but they used to have a choir. Like, people would stay after work and be a part of the choir at JPL.
Huh.
And then they would perform with the Pasadena Symphony Orchestra in June, which would usually be this past year. But they don't have a choir, and I don't know if the choir director, you know, I'm curious because I told the scientist, his name is Jan, he actually worked on the Mars rover that's on Mars right now. We all heard about that. He worked on that. I said, I want to find out who directed that choir because I would be interested in that.
Yeah.
I would love to direct a bunch of scientists and engineers on how to sing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, I'll teach you guys to sing. You show me what you do in that lab. I'm interested.
I mean, singing is not like a career for them. They're just looking at it as a hobby, as a way to entertain.
Well, that's where the whole self-expression comes in. And here's the thing, too. The other thing I found out about these guys is that they're in bands. And then they have days in JPL in the square where the bands are out there playing, and these guys are singing and playing instruments, and they're really good. So guys and girls that like math and all that, they also like to sing and do the art.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting.
You know, April, sometimes you and I, when we're doing our vocal exercises, you taught me something. You said that certain sounds scientifically have been proven to cause healing in your body.
Yeah.
Is that – can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I forget what the actual – there's like megahertz something something point whatever, and I don't know what the number is. I should know that. But there's a vibration in sound healing, okay, and it happens with like the breath work, the detox stuff I talked to you about. Sound healing goes on, and it clears the space. It clears the cells, like the body. It'll actually go through and detox the body over time. So if you're singing and you're speaking and you're using your vibration often, and you're feeling it, like you can feel the vibration in your chest, in your head, everywhere. It's scientifically proven, and you can Google it. You'll see the trials, the clinical trials they've done, or the studies that they've done.
Yeah.
It's actually singing and speaking, mostly singing though, especially group singing, can add years to your life. It can even heal depression and major diseases over time. It adds 15 years to your life singing. So I think everyone should sing.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Like singing, even like just cleaning the house and singing can also add years to your life.
Yes, girl.
What about if you don't sing, if you just listen to music?
I think that's healing too in its own way, but when you join, I think it's more powerful.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So the vibrations that you're causing is not only just causing healing in your own body, it's causing healing in other people's bodies. Is that safe to say?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. So somebody that's singing with other people and you are doing like a group thing or whatever, or you're singing along, you know, you're at a concert, you're singing along with people. Yeah, absolutely. It's and if you're consistent with it and you're doing it a lot, it's.
You know,
definitely.
I think Dave Chappelle talks about this, that every stand-up comedian secretly wants to be a rock star, which I agree.
You think that's true?
Yes, 100%. I think all stand-up comics secretly want to be a rock star. Maybe some don't, but I mean, I definitely do. You know,
We're gonna make it happen.
I don't know if I ever told you this, and I don't know if my audience members know this. But I started off as a singer. My mom put me in singing classes.
Yes, you told me that.
Classical training as a kid. Like, that's how I even got any kind of desire to get into, you know, of course, I wasn't going to be, like, pursuing it as a career. But it was, like, something that she added as, like, a creative way of for me to express myself. But I wonder, you know, how much healing does it actually cause even in children if they sing from a young age?
Oh, a lot. And it's not just that, it's the confidence too.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you learn to sing and you learn to sing in front of people, like probably the biggest fear is like, oh no, April's going to make me sing in front of people. Yeah, you should.
Right.
You need to make that a goal. Like, I'm not going to make you do that in the beginning, but
right.
That's the goal, is to get out and get in front of people. And that's the thing that I love to do, is just see people really be free with themselves, with self-expression, and get up in front of people when they would never have done it ever, ever.
Right.
Like, no, April, I just want to come to you and sing, but I don't want to sing in front of people. I'm like, we're going to sing. Yes, we are. Oh yeah. And when I see that day come and they get to walk out on the stage, like, cause I used to do a lot of showcases at my college at APU, and everyone would come, cause that's when people were coming to my studio more often. You know, I would hand them the mic and they're about to walk on the stage and I'm like, here we are.
Right.
Remember what I told you?
Right.
Go out there and kill it. You know, and then they go out there and kill it and they come back and they're like, oh my God, April, how did I even do that?
Wow.
You did it because you did all the stuff you needed to do and you got out of your head and you let it happen.
Is that the same as someone saying, like, oh my God, I can't do public speaking, or I can't do stand-up comedy, oh my God, standing in front of people? I would think that it's the same level of confidence and the same kind of mindset we're talking about.
I think so. Like, you found your voice. Like, you can get up in front of people and you're just like, hey, you know, and you're like, hey, I'm here, whatever. You found that freedom in yourself to do that.
Right.
You know, you have your story to tell, and you just said, look, I'm just going to tell my story. I'm going to be me.
Yeah.
And I think when you're comfortable with yourself,
yeah,
you know, and you finally decide that you're just not going to let the world and, you know, things in life push you back or push you around. And people might say, well, Mona, that wasn't very funny. Or Mona, why do you do that? Or you really should do X, Y, and Z. Mona, why, you know, I tell my singers, people will come to you and say, why are you singing like that? You should sing high. You should sing low. You should sing. You shouldn't sing. This is the way you should sing. I think you should. I'm like, I think you should all quiet.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you need to let the voice out. And that's why I call it Let the Voice Out.
Yes.
Go to letthevoiceout.com if you want to know more about my
training. Absolutely.
It's a bomb.
It totally is a bomb. You know, April, those things about Mona, that wasn't funny, or, you know, why did you say that? And I'm just like, it's okay, Mom. You don't have to come to my shows. You know,
whatever.
Yeah. You don't have to criticize me. If you don't like it. Like, it's the arts. It's freaking subjective. Like, what do you want? This is, you know, entertainment is, so one person finds it entertaining. Some people love fucking, what's that band? Bon Iver. I want to slice my wrist every time I listen to them. I'm like, this is suicide music. Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, I'm going to slice my own wrist when I listen to this. But people go to their concerts, apparently. I'm like, people go to their concerts. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, everybody has their thing, you know. I don't know. It's not for everybody, but everybody's different. I think for every singer or people out there, there's, you know, somebody is for that.
Sure.
Somebody likes it.
Absolutely.
Somebody is liking it.
I agree. April, we're going to start wrapping up soon. I wanted to talk to you briefly about, we were talking about how sound is healing, especially like singing and stuff. You know, in yoga, you know, when you do the meditation, sometimes when you do the yoga, I don't know if you've done yoga, but they do the sound of the om, like the om. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that is like the same mindset that they were using about it being a healing thing, like you're describing singing is.
Yeah, I think it is. Because you can feel your whole body go into vibration with that.
Uh-huh.
So there is a certain level of that. Yeah, for sure. And I think that people experience healing in yoga and things like that from the positions that they hold and such. But I also think that the making of the sound is part of it, big time. I think that adds a lot.
The you mean because the sound causes the vibration that causes the healing? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I think.
Wow. I mean, this is Wayne Lewis asks, does that help? Never pain. Is that what you asked, Wayne? I didn't quite understand that question. Does it help with pain? Yeah. I guess.
I don't know. I think it depends on the kind of pain, but I think when you're talking to your body and you're expressing yourself, I think the body is. I think it's something over time. If you do it consistently, your body starts to heal. The body is amazing. Our bodies are amazing.
Yeah.
Our bodies can heal and do all these things, even though we've had some you know, things happen to us. But I think it's probably in conjunction with, you know, healthiness and drinking water and sleeping and letting the body repair too.
Sure.
It's probably in conjunction with a lot of other things. But
yeah,
I'm just shooting from the hip with that. So I don't have any facts to back that up. But I do know that the science says that it's, you can internally start healing faster.
Yeah.
If you sing. Yeah. It's crazy.
April, have you ever had, when you were starting out and getting your career going, did you have, you know, like, I look at somebody like Lady Gaga, right? Lady Gaga is a brilliant singer. She's very talented, great voice. But she, in a way, she had what Madonna did, which is, you know, taking the Vogue world and adding it to her, you know, to her image. Lady Gaga would do these outrageous costumes, right? You know, the monsters, as she calls her followers.
Is that
something that, like, if you're, even if you're a good singer, you need extra, I don't know, I don't want to call it a gimmick, but you kind of need that kind of image or that kind of, I don't know, that kind of thing to be like, yeah, I'm going to make myself stand out. Because, you know, Lady Gaga is very talented and she's a brilliant a cappella singer, but those outrageous costumes and those dance numbers and all that, is that, that's what really put her on the map. Is that something that you see yourself kind of doing where, you know, you come up with something? Because, like, Beyonce did that with Sasha Fierce, right? Oh, that's my alter ego. Like, that was a thing at a time. Like, oh, that's my alter ego. But is that something that you feel like you need as an artist to stand out among a pool of other very talented people?
I think that it kind of goes along with April Diamond, really, truly. The sparkliness and the you know, sparkly clothes and, you know, the over-the-top fashion, that kind of thing. Absolutely. It's good. That fits in my scenario. I'll probably have my own clothing line and all that.
Yeah.
So I see that. I started my own line of coffee mugs that say 30 Days of April. Where is it? Okay, somewhere around here. I started that because 30 Days of April is going on right now.
Yes.
So.
And what is 30 Days of April? What is it?
30 Days of April. It's a little reality series I do every year where I go live every single day, and I take my following with me, and I do all kinds of things. I interview people like you do, and I go places and do things. I go flying. I'm going to go play golf with a bunch of friends. I'm going to do a bunch of these things and take everybody with me.
Got it.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, yes, but it's a blast.
Right.
So that's where I have my follower family. So that's why I want you guys to all follow me there. And you guys are all, everyone watching is part of my follower family.
Yay! Part of the follower family. That part. Part of the follower family, April.
Yeah.
I mean, I often wonder, you know, I look at Lady Gaga and how she started off, you know, Stephanie Germanotta is, you know, comes from a very well-off family in New York City, right? Also comes, she also comes from privilege, went to private schools. You know, of course you have to still be talented and be able to deliver on some level. Yeah. If you're not such a great singer, you still have to be a really good dancer because you got to deliver on some level, right? You still have to come through, enter Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo is like that. I mean, J-Lo didn't get her pop career going till she was like 27, 28 years old, which is kind of late in the pop world, isn't it?
I don't think so.
No?
No. I think that's a good place to start. She began with in Living Color.
She was a dancer. Right. She was a dancer. She was one of the Fly Girls. Right.
Yeah. She was in her mid-20s or something like that.
Right.
But that's normal. Yeah.
20s, like, because I look at somebody like
20s to 30s,
sure. Right. Do you think a lot of like the way that women are viewed? I don't know. I feel like the age pressure is not so much on the men, quite frankly, in any industry. But I think there is an expectation of female artists in the music industry to look a certain way, not to age, you know, to be like perfect, like fucking, you know, Botox queens.
Forever.
Yeah, 21 forever. Is that, do you see a shift happening in that?
I think the age is not as much of an issue as it used to be. And the reason is because we have an opportunity to get on our social media and do and promote, and like what you're doing, you know, you talk about what you do and you're your own thing. You're already there.
Uh-huh.
I go and do my thing. I promote other people. I train other singers. I'm being April Diamond wherever I go, and I have been. And I think that the age doesn't have as much to do with it, because when you have something going already, it's going, and it doesn't have an age. It's just that it's successful, and the world loves watching you, and the world wants to be part of what you're doing.
Right.
If you make it an issue, then it will be one. But I don't think I don't think anybody looks at J-Lo and goes, oh, well. I don't think anybody looks at, you know, some of these women in the business, oh, well, she's XYZ. You know, maybe some people, but I don't think that's the general populace. I think that people, when they love the artist, they're endeared to them no matter where they fit in the scope,
mm-hmm.
right? And when you go out there and you kill it on stage and you look great doing it, and you have that energy and you have that excitement and you have that power going of, this is what I want to say, this is what I want to do, this is who I am, it's electric, and everybody follows you, and nobody asks that.
Right.
I mean, some people ask me that, but.
Right, right.
I just get out there and I do my thing.
How much does sex appeal play a role in selling records?
Oh, yeah, a whole bunch.
So,
a whole bunch.
Like, how much ass do you got? How much ass and titties you got to show to sell records?
Okay, so I'll tell you, on my lives, like today I'm wearing this, it's just because I wore this morning when I went to go get my hair done. But, you know, I got cleavage going on.
Oh, you got a little cleave action. Okay, all right.
Oh, I got serious cleavage going on most of the time. So nearly, you know, those guys you're talking about in Pakistan, they're like boobs. Boobs. So he's like,
you are very beautiful. Please tell me about your culture. And by culture, I mean your boobs.
exactly. Open. Oh, bouncy. Oh, all of that.
Really? Do you get that on an IG?
Oh, I get all of that.
So wow.
In the beginning, it used to really piss me off, and I used to just hide all the comments, right? So what happened, what I started doing is I told my followers, I said, hey, when you see these guys making rude comments, I want you to screenshot who they are, and I'm going to unfollow them and delete them and block them. So now I have my followers going after the people when they say rude things. You need to stop saying that about April. She's a nice person. We don't like that. And so then my followers are like, protect me.
That's lovely. I mean, that's
thank you guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what, so what do? They take screenshot these people saying nice tits, and then just screenshot it and send it over to you, and then you block them.
Yeah, they say whatever they say. So, I mean, sex appeal is part of it. Absolutely. And, you know, I think I have some for me. I'm kind of like...
Some? No, you have plenty.
I try. I got some boobs, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
They're real.
Yeah.
Let me just say, a lot of people in the business are like, nah, that's not. I'm like, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. But it's, I'm just being me. That's the thing.
Right.
I like being me. I celebrate me, and I haven't always celebrated being me.
Yeah.
And I think that, like you celebrate you, and you get out.
Not all the time, April. Not all the time. It's exhausting sometimes.
It is exhausting, and I know I'm tired, but celebrate you. Go out and do your thing, and your sex appeal shows.
Yeah.
And the next few songs that I'm going to be putting out are going to have a whole lot more of that.
That's awesome. See, it's not like that in stand-up. We, as women, as female stand-up comics, we cannot get up there and have sex appeal. Like, no fucking way. You know what's the one thing that we hear? And I heard this very early on in my career, and then heard it throughout, you know, other people, other younger female comics that come in, is that...
Yeah.
You can't be too cute or too attractive when you get up on stage. You cannot be sexy when you get on stage.
Why would they say that?
No, you cannot. I'll tell you what the thing is. So there's this mentality that when a female comic gets up there and there's a couple sitting there and the guy's laughing at your jokes and he likes your jokes and you're hot and you're sexy and you're funny, right? So there's this thing where, oh my God, the girl's not going to laugh because she thinks that the guy's going to try to bang the female comic on stage. So then the guy's going to stop laughing. So then what you have to do as a female comic is you have to get the girl on your side to be like, oh my God, you're such a lucky guy. You're with this beautiful woman. You have to compliment her. Give her the hey, I'm not trying to bang your boyfriend. You know, we're just here to have a good time. But male comics don't have to do that. A male comic can be hot, get up there, pull his dick out, and everybody will like, amazing. That was such a performance. But for us, if we get up there and we have our ass hanging out or our titties hanging out or anything sexual or even look too pretty, immediately there's an immediate like, whoa, what's going on? Thank God for the likes of Amy Schumer and even Nikki Glaser that have come up and they're really trying to break that kind of, you know, hey, you can still... Yeah. you can still look pretty and get up on stage and be funny and be accepted. So I think there's, we as stand-up comics, as female stand-up comics, really struggle with that. We cannot have sex appeal when we get on stage. Like, that's not a thing. Like, because we almost have to dumb down our looks. I cannot go on stage looking like this. There's no fucking way. There's no fucking way. What? No. Oh my God. I'll struggle on stage.
Wow.
I'll struggle because dudes would be like, oh yeah, she's cute. Oh, I'm going to laugh, but I'm going to try to see if I can get it in later. You know, it's like that kind of a thing.
Strange.
Yeah, it's a very different world. Like, you as an artist, when you get up on stage, you're like, you're hot, you're sexy, and girls are like clapping and dancing and having a good time. It's not like that for us. It just isn't. It's a very different world.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's totally weird. But you know, I'm trying to change that. The next time I go on stage, I'm planning on just flashing everybody with my titties. Get that out of the way, and be like, now we're gonna do jokes.
Oh my gosh, Mona.
Just flash people, be like, titties. Okay, all right, back to jokes. Anyways, how are you all feeling? You feeling good? Yeah, I flashed some titties at you. Okay, all right, cool. Let's do this. April, we're gonna start wrapping up.
Okay.
When is your next when are you expected to have your next single come out?
It'll be this month. I'll find out probably this next week.
Okay. Awesome.
I have a new single coming out. I have two, actually.
Oh, sweet.
Finishing up the other one in the studio, and then I have a couple more that I'm working on at home. So there's going to be a lot of music here very soon. Over the summer, I'm going to have a full album.
Awesome. And so, you're going to make music videos, right? You have to shoot the music videos?
We're going to shoot a music video in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
So I'll go live with that because I want everybody to be in on the process.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Yeah. Right now I have 30 Days of April going on. So if you guys are watching, go to Instagram and follow me at April Diamond Music and join in on my 30 Days of April. I'm live every day.
Awesome.
And I'll have Mona on there too.
Yay. Coming to flash some titties. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. My show's PG, so you can't do that.
not when I show up, April. Not when I show up. This has been
go back to Lala's and have dinner and chat.
Oh my God, I'm so down for that. Mm-hmm. Where else can people follow you? I know you're very active on Instagram.
Yeah.
And what's your social? Okay.
And my YouTube channel, which I'm gonna start going live.
Awesome.
There. And that's April Diamond Official. And on Facebook, you can go to my artist page there. Oh, TikTok.
Yeah.
I have a TikTok.
Oh, sweet. Awesome.
And Saturday night dance party.
Oh my God. We are going to do the party together. Yes.
We're
going to do the party together.
It will be fun.
Please tell me more about your culture while dancing. Please.
I love you, Mona.
I love you too, April. April, this was a lot of fun. I cannot wait for you two new songs to drop. So I'm really looking forward to it, you know?
Yeah, follow me on Spotify at April Diamond and you'll see it there. I got The Music in Me is up there. It's over a million plays.
Yeah.
And Lose Control is going to have another 3-minute. I have a new version of Lose Control that's coming out, a 3-minute version. And I'll be posting that this week.
I love that. April, what about people if they want to take, vocal lessons with you like I do?
Yeah. So I have a couple options for that. I have some group classes and I have some private instruction. But here's something you can tell your people. I have a special Groupon going around.
Oh.
And you're getting like major percentage off group classes.
Okay.
And that kind of thing. So go to Groupon, but go to my website at letthevoiceout.com. And I'll have that posted up there this weekend. So go to letthevoiceout.com. Send me an email and say, April, I want to know more about your vocal training system. And I'll send you the email back with all the information and you can join my classes.
And the cool thing with you is that if you're in LA, you're based in Burbank, they can come to Burbank or you can do it virtually like we did today.
Absolutely. Most everything is virtual right now, but
because absolutely. So many people are, you know, they haven't been vaccinated yet. So they're like, oh, I'll just do it virtually.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. And they can stop singing in their bathrooms and just come out and let the voice out and actually sing.
Let the voice out. You can sing in your bathroom too, but you can even get better when you go out of your bathroom.
That's
and
true.
Sound good in the world.
That's
It's possible. And some people are like, no, not for me. Yes, for you. Yes, for the non-believer. Yes, for you.
That's for you. That's for you. April Diamond, yeah. What a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. You're the best.
You're the best.
Awesome, Mona.
I love you. Thank you very much, April.
I love you too.
All right.
I'm glad we figured out the sound. I'm sorry. I'm like debunked over here.
We did. It's called It's called the phone. Yeah.
Yeah, on the phone. We figured it out.
Yes, we did. Have a good night. I will see you soon, my friend.
All right. See you soon.
Thank you. Bugs. Take care. That was a lovely April Diamond. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. I know I definitely did. And learned a great deal about the music business. You guys, if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, please do. You can go to youtube.com/Mona Shake Comedian. That's my first name, last name, and the word comedian. Oh, Jimmy Fiska said, thank you, Mona. Excellent interview. Thank you very much, Jimmy. Appreciate it. James said, thanks, Mona and April. Fascinating chat. Have a wonderful and cleaning weekend. Yes, I will be cleaning. I'm so excited. You can also follow me on my TikTok at Mona Shake Comedian, also on Facebook, and of course, on Instagram and Twitter at Mona's Comedy. I will be back on Monday with a brand new guest. Have a good evening. Stay safe out there. Wear masks and get vaccinated if you can. Have a good evening, guys.